Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. It was on Mother's Day in 1994, which that year happened to be on May 8th, just like this year, that I called my mom to wish her happy Mother's Day. My wife Lori and our boys had just and I had just recently moved from Boulder, Colorado to Austin, Texas, where I was attending seminary. All three of our boys had been born in Boulder. Laura and I were married there, and my parents only lived about an hour from us. So we had spent a lot of Mother's Days together with our parents, with my parents and with our families together. But this year, a phone call would have to do. So when I was talking to my mom, she, as she usually did, asked about Lori and the boys and how they were doing. And we talked a little bit about school and what I was experiencing there at seminary. And I asked her how she was doing, and she said she and Dad were fine and things were good, and she was enjoying my siblings who still live there in the area in Denver as they were over with her for Mother's Day. And we ended the call, as we often did, by expressing our love for one another. Then, just 2 days later, very unexpectedly, very suddenly, the Lord took my mother home to be with Him. She had reached the finish line of her life that God had prepared for her. We have been talking together about the letters, some of the letters of Paul, and we this morning come to the fourth and final chapter of Paul's second letter to Timothy. Whereas we will see, Paul is going to reflect a little bit on his own life and how he is nearing the finish line. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I will be reading verses 6 through 8. And if you'd like to join me there using the Pew Bible, I welcome you to do so. And Paul says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing." As Paul thinks back on his Christian life, as he knows the finish line is coming closer, he summarizes, if you will, what his experience or what his journey has been like, and he uses three phrases. I'd like us to quickly take a look at those and just think a little bit about them this morning. The first thing he says is, "I have fought the good fight." Now notice, Paul doesn't say, "I have fought a good fight," kind of evaluating as he looks back how well or how poorly he's done, how strong he has been, or at the other times, how weak he has been. He's not talking just about his own personal Paul's fight, like, "I fought a good fight." No, he says, "I have fought the good fight." There is a particular fight that Paul has been engaged in his life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it is the fight that every believer is a part of. Not just Paul. It is the fight fundamentally between good and evil. It's the fight that human beings have been involved with since the very beginning when Satan tempted Adam and Eve to do evil. And it is a fight that will remain with us until that glorious day when Christ returns and finally good will overcome evil. Indeed, evil will be eradicated. Light will overcome darkness, and darkness will be no more. That is why we look forward to that day with eager anticipation. It will be a glorious day, and it will be an incredible eternity that we will be a part of. But for now, like Paul, you and I are in the fight. It is not a fight that you can avoid. Even if you were to go live in a cave somewhere, you would still be in the fight because it is a fight certainly that has external dimensions of evil in the world and sin in the world that impacts us and affects us negatively, and we have to fight it. We have to decide how to live in the midst of it. We have to decide what is goodness lived out in evil, but it is also an internal fight. It is a fight within us between our worst tendencies, our worst habits, that old selfishness that one day will be totally eradicated. Just like external sin and darkness will be done away with, so will internal sin and darkness. But until that day, we fight the good fight. And it is a good fight. It is a good fight because it is the one to which we have been called. If you're at all like me, I wish that evil just wouldn't be in the world. I would love to be able to live right now today as I will live in all eternity, but that is not God's desire. That is not God's will. That is not God, how God has put together this world in which we live. And while I don't understand that, and at times I even have a hard time accepting that, it is still true. And so therefore it is the good fight because it is God's fight. And it's a fight that we are called into. And so Paul looks at his life and says, I have been a part of fighting the good fight. Secondly, Paul says that I have finished the race. Now, these three, along with a third, I have remained faithful. They're kind of partake of one another. There's not like hard and fast lines between the three. But if the first, I have fought the good fight, has to do more with good versus evil, I have run the race. I think Paul is talking more, and he uses that metaphor in other places in his writings. I think Paul is talking more there specifically about how he's lived the Christian life. Now, certainly parts of the Christian life is fighting the good fight, but part of the Christian life is also how you run the race. Now, in a race, you run the race by putting one foot in front of the other. A race is run step by step by step by step, and you have to keep stepping until you get to the finish line. Otherwise, you won't reach it, obviously. Well, in somewhat the same way, the Christian life is lived every day, moment by moment. But in that moment, in that step that we are taking, Paul is saying that we have a view of finishing the race. And in order to finish the race, I have to think about how I'm running today. How am I stepping out? How is this moment that I'm living it? Am I living it for Christ? Am I living it with a purpose of finishing the race well, as having lived in the way that Christ calls me to live? So poignantly summarized by Christ himself, it is to love God and to love your neighbor. And so I can ask, as I take this step today, as I'm involved in this Christian life, am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbor today? And so am I running each step in light of the kind of Christian life that takes me eventually to that finish line. And at that finish line, I can look back and say, I have run the race well. I have run it as God would have me run it. Or, conversely, am I running selfishly? Am I running with a view to me and to what I want? Am I running not so much with a view to loving God and loving my neighbor, but loving only myself? Or I might call myself a Christian. I may do various religious things, but the way in which I'm stepping out day to day in my life clearly has much more about me than about God. We're not, then, Paul would say, running the race well. And we really don't have an eye on Christ. We don't have a view to the finish line and to finish well. We just have a view to what I want, when I want it, how I want it, which is right now, my way. How am I running the race? Paul says, I run so that I may finish well. So I've fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have remained faithful, Paul says. As he looks at his life, he recognizes that God has been faithful to him all along the way. God has never given up on him. Even though at times Paul has stumbled, at times he has taken off to do his own thing, at times he has not been faithful to God, but God has been faithful to him. And now as Paul is finishing the race, he says, yeah, there have been stumbles along the way, but overall, as I am finishing, I recognize the faithfulness of God that has drawn out within me a faithfulness to him. And I finish faithful. I haven't quit the race. I haven't stopped running. I haven't given up on God. I've had questions along the way. I've had doubts. I've had concerns. People have tried to draw me away. The evil one has tried to tempt me to go and do something different than what God has called me to do. But I have remained faithful. Not because I am so wonderful, Paul is saying, but because God has been faithful to me. He continually draws me back. I have remained faithful. It was several days after my mom suddenly died that family and friends gathered together for her service. It was a time of remembering her, and particular remembering her life of faith. Now, I don't remember, it's quite a while back now, exactly the words that were spoken. Someone may have spoken these words or similar words here that we just read from Paul. I don't remember that. But even if they weren't spoken in the way that Paul phrases it, certainly they could have been. Because these are words that were characteristic of my mother's life. My mother was a woman who fought the good fight. And where I experienced that in all the years that I was her son was she fought the good fight on behalf of me, on behalf of my brother and my sisters, and behalf of my father with whom she was in ministry. She fought the good fight against the evil of bullies in our lives, of people who hurt us, of just the hard things of growing up. And I lived a certain kind of a life growing up. My parents being missionaries, we moved around a lot. And I had to keep making new friends, which was really hard. We lived in different countries. I had to learn new languages and was often teased for the way I talked and the things I couldn't say or the things I didn't know or understand. In fourth grade, we spent a year on furlough in the U.S. We were doing missionary work in, in Europe, but my parents, being American, they came back, and for a year we had furlough. We lived in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and I was in fourth grade. Well, my English was just very, very elementary, but they sent us to public school. And somehow the fourth grade teacher had not learned, had not been told that Steve, had grown up in Denmark and had learned Danish, and his English was very poor, and she would speak to me or say something, and I, probably in part not understanding, but also in part just being very embarrassed, would not respond to her. And so after a day or two of this, she went to the principal and said, I think that Steve Wilbraham needs to move into kind of a special class. There's something not quite right about him. And so my mom gets a telephone call or a note home from school or something saying, we think your son might be, whatever words they used, back in the day, low IQ, whatever it might be. Well, Mama Bear was not happy. And I don't remember much about fourth grade, but I do remember marching into the principal's office with my mother. And she was not happy. So she was fighting the good fight for me, maybe not quite the way that Paul is talking about. I'm sure she was very godly in how she did it. But she was always on my side because she knew how hard it was for me and for my siblings. She knew the struggles that my dad had in ministry, ministering in a country where atheism is very, very high and trying to share the gospel. But she fought the good fight in the arena that she had been given as wife and as mother. And I watched her and I learned from her. And I realized, in many ways, not until I got older, of course, and was able to think through, but even instinctually as a child, that she was living in a way that was good. And that goodness was stronger than the hurt and the pain that I was experiencing as a child, and larger things that were going on in the world around us. She fought the good fight, and she ran the race. Every single day, my mother prayed for me. She prayed for my brother and my three sisters. She prayed for my dad, and I know there are many others on our prayer list, but we were there at the top. Every day, she read the Word daily, often sharing with me and the rest of my siblings what she was reading, encouraging us in our own reading of the Bible and in praying with us, as well as encouraging us to pray on our own throughout the day. She was running the race, seeking to do that which God had called her to do. To love in the context that she was given in which to love God and to love others. Putting herself way at the end of the line, considering the needs of others before she even thought about her own needs. I know she wasn't perfect, but boy, growing up, she was the closest thing I had to an example of perfection. She ran the race. And she remained faithful. Again, it wasn't until I was older that I came to realize how often she struggled. She had five children within 7 years of one another. We often had young men and women, college students that my dad was ministering with, living in our home, expanding this already large family from 7 to sometimes 11 or 12 or 13, taking care of the house, cooking meals, dealing with all the issues. My dad was often traveling, involved in ministry, speaking at conferences, but not at home, helping out. It was up to her. And that was hard. That was a struggle. And I know that there were times that she questioned the ministry to which God had called her and her husband. But she remained faithful. Because the God that she knew, the God who had forgiven her sins, the God that had sent His Son into the world that she may be saved, was a God who was faithful to her. And she remained faithful to Him. She fought the good fight. She ran the race. She remained faithful. The writer of the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter gives several examples of great men and women of faith who had passed away. And then giving this long, wonderful list in chapter 11, this is how the writer begins chapter 12, again of Hebrews, verse 1. He says, or she says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." God has set a race before you and me. It is a race that has a finish line. And some of us are closer to that finish line than others. But none of us know exactly where it is. Only God does. And in His wisdom and in His grace, He has appointed the day, the hour, the moment that you will cross that finish line. But until then, we're running the race that is put out before us. But at the finish line, the writer of Hebrews says, there is a great cloud of witnesses, men and women who have gone before us, great people of the faith, and they are cheering us on in the race. My mom is at that finish line, and my dad is standing next to her, and they are cheering me on. And they're saying to me, "Steve, keep fighting the good fight. Steve, keep running the race that God has placed before you. Steve, remain faithful, for one day you will join us here at the finish line." And standing with my mom and my dad and this great cloud of witnesses, of people of faith, is Jesus Christ Himself. And His voice rises over all other voices. And He calls out, "Come on, Steve, you can do it. In the strength that I give you through my Holy Spirit, you can do all things, Steve. You can fight the good fight. You can keep running the race. You can remain faithful." Who is at the finish line waiting for you? Who is there cheering you on? People of faith who shared that faith with you and lived that faith. Who are the people that are saying to you, "Come on, I know you can do it. Keep fighting that good fight. Keep running that race that is before you. Remain faithful." And the day is coming where you and I will join them at the finish line. And we, in turn, we will cheer on our children and our grandchildren and the people that we have been in church with, our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers. We will be cheering on those people of faith, and we will be saying to them, "Come on, you can do it." This is our opportunity as we run our race to be people that others look to in this life. But what does it mean to keep fighting the good fight? What does it mean to keep running the race? What does it mean to remain faithful? One day they may be sitting in a church somewhere at our memorial service. Will they hear us cheering them on? What of you it will be for you and me from the finish line as those we have loved and cared for complete their race? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Paul, spoken as he sees the end of his life near, not morbid, not fearful, not hesitant, not angry, not regretful, not looking back and wishing that things would have been different, not complaining about the hard times, but saying, I've been in the fight, the good fight. I've been running this race. I have remained faithful. And there's a great crowd of people at that finish line with Christ right at the center who have been cheering me on. I'm about to join them. And here we are some 2,000 years later, and we're being cheered on by Paul ourselves and by so many other people well known like him whose stories are in the Bible and other people that hardly anybody knows except just us. But they're no less important and in some ways perhaps even more important. So the question is, who will we be for others? As people watch us, as our children, as our grandchildren, as our neighbors, as our co-workers, as our friends, as our people in the places where we live, watch how we live our lives. Do they see us fighting the good faith, Lord? Do they see us running the race? Do they see us remaining faithful? What of you it will be from the finish line, Lord, when we join you there. Amen.